PJM Mike Briefs, January 7, 2026, written by Devin Leith Yeshin, and read by an automated voice. Fuel cost policy updates for Manual 15. The Market Implementation Committee endorsed an issue charge to evaluate whether revisions to Manual 15, cost development guidelines, are warranted to preclude market sellers from inflating cost-based offers by using inaccurate fuel cost estimates from affiliated suppliers. The issue charge passed with 81.9% support. PJM's David Housk said the issue charge would memorialize the RTO's existing practices around approving fuel cost policies. Joel Romero Luna, an analyst with the Independent Market Monitor, said all of the currently approved fuel cost policies meet the changes contemplated by the issue charge. Stakeholders questioned how the definition of affiliate used in the issue charge might interact with a tariff-defined term. PJM Associate General Counsel Chen Liu said affiliate was lowercased intentionally to avoid tying it to the governing document definition. Manager of Stakeholder Process and Engagement Michelle Greening said PJM can revise the issue charge to allow for changes to the governing documents if necessary. Monitor reminder for reviewing fuel cost policies. The Monitor presented a reminder that market participants with fuel cost policies expiring in November 2026 should review the compliance of their policies and update them if needed. Those who fail to extend their policies will be required to submit a new one and either submit cost-based offers priced at zero or use PJM's temporary cost offer method in the meantime. PJM proposes performance penalties for non-emergency load management. PJM presented a proposal to assess performance penalties against demand response, or DR resources that do not meet their obligations during a non-emergency load management deployment. Curtailment service providers that do not meet their obligations would be subject to a penalty rate set at half the charge for capacity resources that fail to respond during a performance assessment interval, or PAI, which would be approximately $1.150/MWh for the 2027-28 delivery year. The additional penalties would count toward the annual stop-loss limit capping the amount of capacity performance penalties a resource can be assigned in a delivery year. PJM's Pete Langbein said the revenues collected from the penalties would be allocated to load-serving entities as a bonus on the logic that they purchase the capacity CSPs are expected to provide. According to the problem statement brought by PJM, there were 6 deployments in the summer of 2025 totaling 30 hours, with a weighted average performance of 67%. This is significantly lower than in prior years and much lower than the overall test results of 103% for the 2024-25 DI. PJM expects to dispatch load management more frequently in the future due to lower reserve margins, PJM wrote. Voltus presented a non-performance penalty based on the IESO market design, which would set charges at the shortfall measured in unforced capacity, or UCAP times the daily capacity rate and a non-performance factor based on event duration. A portion of the penalties would go to overperforming CSPs, and the remainder would be allocated to consumers. Auction report correction. PJM has reposted its report on the 2027-28 base residual auction, or BRA, to correct 2 errors related to the installed reserve margin, or IRM. Langbein said a rounding error on the pool-wide accreditation factor led to the IRM accreditation being understated at 14.4%. The report has been updated to correct that value at 14.9%. The report's executive summary also did not account for price-responsive demand, or PRD, when discussing the reserve margin. PJM presents issue charge on storage participation in energy and ancillary service markets. PJM's Daniel Krupp presented a problem statement and issue charge to expand the capability of the RTO's Energy Storage Resource, or ESR, participation model to account for state of charge, opportunity costs, and other participation rules for the energy and ancillary service markets. Both documents note that PJM has an obligation under FERC Order 841 to incorporate state of charge and storage dispatching in 2026, a gap the RTO wrote can lead to infeasible dispatch instructions. The problem statement argues a closer look at the ESR model is necessary due to the amount of storage under development in PJM. As of November 2025, PJM's interconnection queue has over 3.5 gigawatts of energy storage under construction, 1.2 gigawatts in transition cycle 1 and over 9 gigawatts in transition cycle 2. Even if only a portion of these projects become operational, PJM can expect a significant increase in battery storage on its system. As its penetration grows, PJM needs to ensure that its market rules can effectively manage these limited duration resources, PJM wrote. Krupp said other RTOs have integrated large amounts of storage in their markets, creating an opportunity for PJM to review other market design elements and their success, such as how storage resources are required to submit offers and their parameters. The issue charge lists market rules that may be part of the discussion is including energy must offer rules, intraday offer rules, uplift eligibility and resource parameters. It also would open the conversation to whether hybrid resources should be included. Krug told RTO Insider the energy market must offer requirement for storage resources is not as cut and dried as for traditional resources. They are required to offer their full capability, measured in UCAP, into the market. Responding to questions around peak shaving adjustments and load forecasting, Krug said the issue charge is narrowly focused on storage participation in the energy and ancillary service markets. While those are issues worth talking about, that should come with a dedicated issue charge. Flexible resource issue charge endorsed. Stakeholders endorsed by acclamation an issue charge seeking to rework the definition of flexible resources, with the aim of reducing instances where resources committed in the day-ahead market on flexible parameters cannot be dispatched on other schedules in the real-time market. Flexible resources typically are held offline until committed by PJM or the resource owner self-schedules, with lost opportunity cost, or lock credits paid to compensate the owner for real-time profits that were missed out on. The flexible definition pertains to resources that can start up within 2 hours and run for two or fewer hours, known as 2x2 parameters. If a flexible resource changes either its start time or minimum run time to be longer than 3 hours, it becomes ineligible for lock credits and cannot be evaluated by intermediate term, or ITEST. The issue charge aims to address instances where a flexible offer is not needed, and other inflexible schedules could allow the resource to operate. PJM's Susan Kenny gave an example of a resource committed on a flexible schedule in the day-ahead market and which is offer cap due to a market power determination owing to a transmission constraint. If that constraint does not materialize, ITEST would not be able to consider any of the resource's other offers with inflexible parameters. She said PJM has solutions in mind and expects the issue can be addressed within a few months, leading to the issue charge being brought through under the Kerlite pathway, which offers a more streamlined stakeholder process. Stakeholders endorse quick fix on offline resource lock eligibility. The MIC endorsed by acclamation a quick fix proposal to tighten when secondary reserves are eligible for lock credits. The quick fix pathway allows for an issue charge to be brought concurrent with a proposed solution. The proposal addresses instances in which offline resources, which are supposed to be ineligible for lock, are viewed as being online by settlement calculations and made eligible for credits. PJM Suzanne Coyne said the issue arises due to a discrepancy between settlement and how real-time, or ITEST, determines if a resource is offline. The dispatch software considers a resource offline if it is not operating when assigned a commitment, while the settlement side focuses on whether the unit was operating at the start of that commitment. If a resource begins ramping up between the time it is dispatched and the start of its commitment, it can improperly be considered eligible for lock credits. If endorsed by the Markets and Reliability Committee at its February 19th meeting, implementation could begin in March, Coyne said.